We're going somewhere today, and I'm glad you're with us, and I'm excited to get to where we need to get to. If you could turn with me, please, Genesis 12, and then go over to Joshua 2 and put a marker in Joshua 2. Oh, so good. But I think we're gonna talk about some ideas this morning in regards to maybe what your past may have looked like. And watch this, how God may have used some questionable people in your past to get you where you are today. But then how easy it is to maybe forget how you got to where you're at. And we're talking, this is the last message on live thankful, what it means day in and day out, not just to be thankful, but to walk in a way to live thankful. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Today is a great day. His goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And you walk in this place to live thankful. But who got you to where you're at today? I didn't get here on my own. There's so many people that there's times I'll write a letter that just goes out total anonymous just to say thank you to somebody for no other reason, but they've been on my heart, that somehow, somewhere along my journey, God used them to get me to where I'm at today, and the list is long. You hear me brag about our team. You hear me brag about Brennan and Teresa and just what they have meant to Renee and I, and how we have just come to this amazing relationship in this church and what God is doing here. Listen, we didn't get here by ourselves. And along the journey, God may have used what the world would say is questionable people to fulfill a promise that he has in you. We're going to see that this morning. And we're going to come to a place today. I hope that you begin to buy into the truth of what this story really means, that God used a prostitute to fulfill a promise, a 440-year-old promise. God used a prostitute. It's a crazy story, church. It's a crazy story. And I want our critical spirit to leave. I want our judgmental spirit to be gone. I want this church to be a church that lives and loves like Jesus does. I want this church, us as a congregation, man, us as a community, us as a family, to look at people in love and to realize God can use that. I'm not looking at the past. I'm not looking at their current state. I'm looking at who they can be in God. What happens if we would do that? What happens when we stop looking at our past and our marriage or the current state of a destructive marriage? We look and really begin to speak in a life of what a marriage could actually be. And man, we're going to see it today. I need your attention, man. Please give me your attention to just turn you to this amazing story in Scripture that God fulfills promises. It may not be on your timetable. He may have put and deposited something in your heart, and then over a course of years, you begin to realize, God, you put that in my heart, and I was the start to that. But God, you're going to fulfill that promise beyond my years. That could happen. We're going to see it today. I mean, I want us to really, really, I need your attention, because you're going to walk out this place different. The Word of God is alive and powerful, and he has a word for us this morning, and I need you to get it, please. I need my wife to come here, please, and just pray over me. I appreciate that. Come on, beautiful. Amen. Come on, love the hat.
Ah, thanks.
Love okay. The coat.
Yes.
And everything about you, I love.
Okay.
Your lips, too.
Okay.
Come on. Would you just pray for me, please? Come on.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for your presence here. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, and we thank you for your word. We thank mm-hmm. you that it is alive and powerful, Lord. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. It's able to divide, Lord, where it needs to go within us. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you would just give Sean the words to speak, Lord, that these words would come alive to us in our spirits, Lord God, and that you would work within our hearts, Lord God, to bring forth great fruit, Lord God, and healing, Lord God, and deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love you, baby. Amen. Come on. Look at this, Genesis 12, verse 1. Check this out. This is a promise that God gives to Abram, who is Abraham. Watch this now. Genesis 12:1 says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. So you're asking me to leave everything and just go. Yep. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great. So you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in all the families of the earth, will be blessed. And he is 75 years old at this time. Turn to Genesis 12 or Genesis 15, please. Genesis 15, just a couple pages. Genesis 15, verse 13 says this. And God said to Abram, know for certain. Now watch. I want you to see this because we're going to read something that's just really, it's intense, man. When you begin to understand God is in control. God is in control. God knows everything that's going to take place from now until eternity. He knows it all. There's never anything that God doesn't know. He is an all-knowing God. That means he knows all. Everything, past, present, and future. And we read a passage like this, and it should be mind-blowing to understand the absolute power and authority of the very God that we serve, the very God who we call Abba Father, the very one who would send his own spirit to dwell and reign within us, put himself on a cross through his son, Jesus Christ, to take the hit for you and I. Gang, where is our level of trust? Seriously, where is our level to understand, God, you do know all things. God, there's nothing that you don't know. God, you are in control. You are in charge. Watch this. I love this passage, man. There's so much in this. And God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. This is a future event. God's already told him, listen, this is the deal. I'm going to make you a great nation. And he tells Abram, look up and see the stars. That's going to be the number of your descendants. They're going to be without number. You listen, Abraham, I'm going to take you places, and I'm going to build you and your descendants, and I'm going to make something out of your family, and your name is going to be named great for all of eternity. And then he comes to a place and say, oh, but it's not going to be fulfilled in your time. Matter of fact, our people, they're going to go into slavery and they're going to be oppressed, and that's going to be 400 years. Isn't it amazing that God's telling Abram what's going to take place 400 years? Can you tell me what's going to take place this afternoon? I'd love to tell you. I know the Steelers are going to win. But after last week's performance, I can't dare say that. I can't tell you what's going to happen at SEEK tonight. We have a God who's telling Abraham here a pretty sad story. Like, listen, I've told you that you're going to have descendants and they're going to be as the stars and they're going to be in the millions and the millions. It's going to be a whole nation. But yet there's a season of 400 years. You're not even going to see this. Abraham, there's a season of 400 years. They're going to be in slavery and they're going to be oppressed. But watch verse 14. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. I know all things, and then God says, I'm actually in charge of all things. Because he's talking about Egypt and Pharaoh, and he's talking about the sons of Israel who are in captivity, who are in slavery, and God knows the plan. Isn't it amazing that we have a God who says, I've already got it planned out. Met 400 years from now, Abram, I've already got it planned out. They're going to go into slavery. They're going to be oppressed. It's going to be a bummer. And then I'm going to show up. And then all of a sudden, I've already got a plan that they're going to come out of that slavery. I've already got to figure it out. Isn't it amazing that we absolutely 100% can back that God is in charge and he already has a plan? It's amazing that it's executed exactly the way God says the plan is going to be executed. So we look at this. You come to a place where now Moses is the leader. We got to get through this. You look at Numbers 14. You see where, okay, they're going into this land that God promised them 400 years earlier. There's going to be a land. It's going to flow with milk and honey. This is the land. It's not even your land, but you're going to go in and possess the land, and then it's going to become your land. So Moses, in his amazing leadership, gets him right on the threshold, and then he sends in 12 spies to check out the promised land. You know the story. The 12 spies go in and see it is abundant. It certainly flows with milk and honey. Look at this fruit. It's incredible. It's amazing. And then you have the 10. Yeah, but... And then here comes the critics. Here comes the naysayers. Here comes the doubters. Here comes those who will influence others to doubt and be critic. Yeah, but man, their cities are fortified. The walls are thick. The people are huge. Giants live in the land. And then you had two of the spies, Joshua And Caleb going, what are you kidding me? Come on. God is for us. The walls will fall. We've got this. Now's the time to move. Let's get on this. God's favor's upon us. His hand is with us. And they just begin to rise up their voice going, what are you talking about? God said this is our time. He said this is our land. He said go and possess it. Go and possess it. What he said. So let's go and possess it. And then you see that the 10 begin to rowl. And it could be millions at this point. And then they come to a place to want a stone. Caleb, Joshua, Moses, and Aaron. Could you imagine that? Well, God comes to Moses and says, what is wrong with the people? What is wrong with their doubt? Didn't they see what I did at the Red Sea? How do they forget what took place with the 10 plagues? They saw how I got you out of Egypt. I said I was going to do that 400 years ago. I got you right to this place. I took you right to the Red Sea. Remember that? Your back was against the wall. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh and his chariots were coming after you. And I said, Moses, the sea split. You guys walked on dry ground. You guys came across. It was amazing. All the water crashed on all the Egyptian army. How do you miss my hand is with you? And he says, for this action, watch this now. God says, the 10 who caused the doubt and the critics, kill them out. Kill them out right now, all 10 of them. The rest of you are going to wander for 40 years. I believe the age was 20 and under is going to live. The rest of you are going to die in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. So here we pick it up. 440 years later in Joshua. Turn to Joshua chapter 2, please. Joshua chapter 2, here you've got this commissioning that now the Lord has commissioned Joshua and said, listen, I've commanded you, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed or afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua takes that, the Bible says in verse 10 that he goes on from Joshua 1:10, he says he goes on and he begins to walk among the camp to say, listen, this is the deal. We are going in this time, and God is for us, and we are not going to be afraid. When you have a chance, read Joshua 1, 9 and 10. Then Joshua went to his commander and said, we're going in. But I love it because in chapter 2, he gets two spies this time. He says, I've been down the road with the many. I've been down the road with 12 going in. That didn't go so well. We lost a lot of people because of their doubt. So I'm only going to send in two this time. And I'm sending you in to Jericho. That's going to be the first city that we take out. And here they're on one side of the Jordan River, which was at its highest peak here in this season. And they yet still had to cross the Jordan. So he sends these two spies in. They're on one side of the Jordan. Somehow the spies get across the Jordan and they go in and they sneak in as spies to the city of Jericho, which the walls were fortified. The walls were so thick. Watch this now. The walls were so thick that they used to have chariot races on top of the wall. It was that thick. It was a serious city. Now look at this, chapter 2. Look where they go. And then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went, came into the house of a harlot, that means a prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and they lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the land. This is one of those crazy stories that you've got this woman who is currently a prostitute. This is her life. This is what she does. She's not married. There's no mention of a husband. There is not mention of children. It's her. This is her living. This is what she does. She's in a city. And you can understand that in this season of life, we see in Mark 10 where Moses, in this season of life, Moses would grant certificate of divorce at any whim. This is the condition of women in this day. The men thought you were dogs, and if you just did one thing wrong, they could kick you to the curb. Women got treated like trash. Could you imagine what a prostitute was treated like? Could you imagine what these travelers would come into the city of Jericho to do business, and that night they would stop and knock on her door? And this was a common occurrence. And they would go in, and this woman would be used repeatedly. This was her life. This is what she did. Could you imagine not knowing whatever what real love is like, but only knowing what the lust of a man was repeatedly again? And this was her being. This was who she was. Listen, guys, I need you to go in secret. I need you to go in undercover. Where do travelers go? Where did merchants go when they came into the city? They visited Rahab. Could you imagine that knock on the door? Where she goes to the door again, going, all right, here we go. I need to make some money, and this is my lot in life. This is who I am. This is what I do. And she opens the door to two men this time. All right, what do you want me to do? Let's get on with this. And they're like, no, not tonight. Because tonight's going to be different for you. We're here on assignment from God. You see, we're from the sons of Israel, and we're coming in this camp. And we have no fear. And we're taking people out. And somehow, some way, her heart turned from the woman who was a prostitute, the woman who had opened her residence to these spies, knowing their plan. She knew their plan. She knew she would have to violate everything that she'd ever believed about Jericho in this city. She'd have to come to a place to betray her people. And she accepts them into her being, into her house, into her residence. Not as a slave. Not as a woman who's a prostitute. But the one that God chose. Come on. The one that God chose. To start the process of his people entering the promised land. It was, can you imagine this? It was the first stop. You tell me that God can't use you because of your past? You tell me that God can't use you because of your current situation? When you look at Rahab, the harlot, or Rahab, it's not like she gave this up months ago or years ago. She's in that lifestyle of being a prostitute, and God chose to use Rahab in this moment right here at the very first stop for the very first person to bring in, watch this, to bring in his chosen people to take their land. And we come to a place to try to criticize people because of their past. We come to a place to want to judge people because of their past. And I look at this and I'm like, God, how amazing are you? You, God, you chose this prostitute woman to lead your people to the promised land. It's an incredible story, church. But boy, we get so critical. And we get so short-sighted at times. And we look at this. Look at how far she goes with this. This is amazing. She says this. And now you've got the king who gets word, hey, there's these two guys, and they went to Rahab, and I'm sure he's like, right, that's normal. No, it's different this time. There's something about them. They look like maybe Israelite. They had a look about them. They're coming in, and they're checking out the land. So he sends two of his soldiers over to knock on Rahab's door, say, hey, those men that came to you, they're not our friends. Like, they didn't come in for any other reason to check us out, to take us out. And she's like, yeah, they were here. But man, they left. Like, the gates are closing and they left. And she says this, you should probably run quick. You might be able to catch up to them. Leave and go straight. Get out of the gate. And you need to go. And you might be able to catch up with them. They just left. We hear, wow, she understood something was taking place. And it was of God. So she goes up to the top of the roof where, look at verse 4, but the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And yes, she said, yes, the man came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And then she goes up to the roof, verse 6. But she said she brought them to the roof and hidden them with the stacks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. And then the men pursued them and couldn't find them. And then we see in verse 9, watch this. And I know that the Lord has given you, this is what Rahab says, I know that the Lord has given you the land. And the terror of you has fallen on us, that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. Look at the condition of the city. For we have heard. For we have heard. Church, what is it? When is the last time you bragged about God? When is the last time that you boasted about what God has done in your life currently, what God is doing in your marriage, what God is doing in your kids? When's the last time you truly boasted and bragged about what Jesus Christ did for every person on the cross with him giving up his life for you? Listen, somehow, some way, people have to hear. Listen, somehow, some way, word got to Jericho. Listen, we've already heard. What did she say? She said, we've already heard what God did at the Red Sea. We're very aware of what God did in Egypt. Listen, this is 40 years ago. You got to know the timing of this thing. This is now 440 years after God showed up to Abram. Now this is 40 years after they've wandered, after the Red Sea. Could you imagine the city of Jericho in this place of waiting? Huh? One day they're going to come. And this is that moment right here. I love what she says. She's like, listen, we heard what God did at the Red Sea. We heard about the two kings who refused to help you and you went in and there was just total destruction. That's an amazing story. It's in Numbers 21. They came and said, all we want is just to pass through. And these two kings are like, we're not letting you in our land. They're like, fine, we're going to take everything and kill you. Should have just let us go through, right? I mean, she's like, we heard all that. And now watch this. This is so cool. Verse 11, and when we heard it, our hearts melted. Now watch this. And no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord, watch this. This is where she's at. For the Lord your God, look at her statement here. Look at her confession. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. This is a statement of faith that she's making. The Lord your God, we get it. I get it. I understand. He is God. Matter of fact, he is the one true living God. He's the God who is in heaven above. He is the God who is on earth below. She's making a confession. You're going, listen, I get it. I understand it. That he, your God, he is God. You're Yahweh God. He is the one true Yahweh. And she comes to this place saying, I'm done with Jericho. I'm done with this lifestyle. I'm done with what I'm doing because I see that he is the one true living God. This is an amazing statement that she's making here, church. And as she comes to this place, watch this agreement. I love where she goes here. Now, therefore, verse 12, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, and you also have dealt kindly with me and my father's house, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. Listen, this kind act that I've done for you, all I want is in return, is when you come in, and I know you're coming, and when you come in, you spare my house. And they go on into this agreement and say, listen, everybody that's in this residence will be safe. So she says, okay, and she puts this scarlet rope out a window. And it's now at nightfall, and she had this place where she lived that was on the outside wall of Jericho. And her window, they didn't need a gate. The gate was already closed, so where she would let them down, they were on the outside of the gate. And then they look up, you can read it, they look up and begin to talk to her after they've escaped by her hand, by her kindness. And they say, listen, this is what we need you to do. You need to tie that scarlet rope. We need you to tie that in the window so that when we come back, we won't come to your house. And they go back and they talk to Joshua. And Joshua, this is the deal. She let us in and just, but we can't touch her house. We made an agreement with her. And this is what we saw. Joshua was amazing. This is what she was telling us. She was telling us that the city's ours, man. These guys are cowards. They are afraid. They've heard that God is for us. They've heard that God is on our side. Remember that what happened 40 years ago? They already know about that. And they know that we're ready to come in. And this just Joshua up. And Joshua's like, okay, the time is now. And then he says, okay, it's time to go across the Jordan. So here he says the water is just raging. Talk about crossing the Red Sea. Now it's crossing the Jordan. And here, God set this up like the Ark of the Covenant is going to go first, and the priests are going to step in the water. As soon as the priests step in the water, watch this, 20 miles upstream, I'm going to cut it off. You tell me they needed a 20-mile gap to get everybody across? It's a lot of people. So the priests step in, 20 miles upstream. And it just dries up. And they go across. And the Lord said, all right, Joshua, we're not doing this again where you guys forgot what took place. I need you to take the 12 tribes and leaders and go into the center with the ark of the dry ground of the Jordan. I need you to take 12 stones and bring them out to the edge so that when all of your sons and daughters see, they will be reminded of what we did today here. Then he comes up with this crazy plan. This is what we're going to do, Joshua. We're going after Jericho. I've already caused them to be cowards. We're going in. But this is the plan. You're going to walk around the wall. Now all of a sudden the wall is going to fall down. Could you imagine? Watch this, man. Could you imagine Joshua trying to tell all of the people that this is the plan? Like, you know, and be reminded, these walls are thick, man. They're fortified. Chariot races on top of the wall. And here Joshua's going, all right, here's the plan. On day one, we're going to walk around the wall. And then day two, we're going to walk around the city again. And then on day three, guess what we're going to do? We're going to walk around the city again. And could you imagine when those two spies, watch this now, those two spies are walking around the city. Every time they would pass, Rahab the harlot's window, there would be that red scarlet rope that they escaped from. Don't forget. Don't forget we have an agreement with her. Don't forget. And day five, we're gonna walk around again. And day six, we're gonna walk around again. And then on day seven, things changed. Okay, this is the day. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna walk around. This is the day, man. We're gonna walk around seven times. But listen, this is the deal. Nobody talks. Nobody. How many people are you telling not to say a word? We don't know why. My guess, honestly, this is a guess. Based off of what took place the last time, they were this close, 11 miles away, 40 years ago, going into the promised land that God said, I gave it to you. It's yours. Go possess it. What happened? People started to talk. People started to be critical. Doubt began to grow. And I could imagine Joshua's going, we are not going down that road again. Nobody's going to talk about a leader who has authority. Nobody's going to talk. Everyone's going to just shut up. This is what's going to take place. I don't want any critics. I don't want any doubt. No, man, we're this close. We're not failing God this time. But man, we're going to march around this day seven times. And we're going to blow our trumpets and we're going to blow our horns. And when I say shout, we are going to shout. And this is the start of us taking the promised land. Could you imagine some? We got this. Why can't we just charge in the front gate? That's a dumb plan. You can walk around the building. What is going on? You just want us to walk around. That's all we're going to do and not say anything. Just hike. We're going hiking. That's what we're going to do. Listen, we got this. Let's just charge the gate. No, man, we're going to walk around the wall like God said, and then on that seventh day, we're going to shout and we're going to blow our trumpets. That's when you make as much noise as you possibly can make. And all of a sudden, they see these walls just drop. Is there anything too difficult for our God? You kidding me? You blew some trumpets and you yelled? And God dropped all the walls? And then you charge the city? Church, what happens when we come to a place to believe God? You can do anything. If you've given me a promise, man, it will be complete. This was a 440-year-old promise that God is fulfilling through Joshua. You can walk around the walls 7 times, and then, man, you're going to yell, and you're going to shout, and you're going to blow your trumpets, and you're going to blow your horns, and just watch. Bam! But it's great because Joshua remembered Rahab the harlot. Joshua remembered Rahab the prostitute. He remembered what she did. Church, you didn't get here by yourself. And Joshua particularly goes to the two spies. Listen, this is the deal. The walls are going to crash. It's going to be an amazing scene. And you being warriors and soldiers, you're probably going to want to go in and take some heads. But this is what I need you to do. I need you to go in, go to Rahab the harlot's house, and make sure we fulfill our agreement. Wouldn't it be just easy? Forget her. Are you kidding me? She's just a prostitute. Why are we, seriously, you want us to not go in and take heads off and do, but no, we're going to honor her. And we're going to fulfill our promise. And you're going to go to her house. And you're going to secure her and her family. And the rest of the sons of Israel went in and just caused absolute, complete mass destruction. Man, woman, and child were wiped out. Except for one family. Because she led them down by a scarlet rope. Because she understood, I'm about to lose everyone that I know except for my mom and dad, brother and sisters. But I'm gaining, watch this now, I'm gaining a whole new family. And then she went on JewishDating.com and found a man. Because you see, watch this. You see in Matthew 1 where she married a man. And her great, great, great grandson was King David. And you see that this Rahab the harlot is now mentioned for all eternity in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, our Savior, King, Master, and Lord, because there was a prostitute in Jericho that God chose to use. And then there's this amazing chapter in Hebrews. It's called the Hall of Fame. Guess whose name's in right in verse 31. Can you put that up, please? I love this church. Tell me God can't use you? You tell me God doesn't have a plan for you? You tell me your past? Well, I can't because of my past. I can't because of my current. And almost every time she's mentioned in Scripture, you know what's attached? Prostitute. What'd you think, man? Could you please drop that part of my name? It's not my last name. But for whatever reason, inspiration of the Holy Spirit said you write it. Maybe it's to remind every single one of us that God can and desires to use you despite your past. God used her. Not when she cleaned herself up, church. God used her on a knock of a door thinking these guys are coming in to use me again. She was in the middle of her prostitution career. And by faith, Rahab the what? Rahab the harlot or Rahab the prostitute. Some might think, well, I read it so much, I think harlot's her last name. But by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Hebrews 11:31. This woman who God chose to use is in the hall of fame. Can you just bow your heads, please, just for a minute, and we'll close out. What happens when you get stuck in your past and you just thank God, oh, I'm so messed up. Come on, what happens if you really believe in the God who can do all things? You think your past is a surprise? You think your current is a surprise? You think your future sinful mistakes is a surprise? Come on, look at this. We have a woman who lived a prostitute life. The God said, in the middle of that, I'm going to use you. You're it. 440-year-old promise. And I'm coming to your door. You're going to help us get through. You tell me that God looks at your past and says, sorry, can't use you. Well, you're not reading this. You're not hearing the truth of how much God knows you and loves you and cares for you and has a plan for you, even because of your past, even because of your current right now, wherever you're at in life, that you would come to a place to believe God can use me. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for my husband. He's got a plan for my wife. He's got a plan for my kids. He's got a plan for my marriage. But you got to buy into that. You got to trust that that's true. You got to come to a place, say, God, you love me. And you have a plan for me. Church, what happens if you and I, as a church, to live and love like Jesus, that we wouldn't look at someone's past and say, sorry, scratch, you're off the list of use. Man, look at your life right now. Yeah, you're a mess. What happens if we actually lived loved like Jesus for people and believe God has a plan for you? And it does come through surrender. She had to surrender. This isn't lighthearted. It's not like, oh, I've got a past, I can just do whatever I want. No, she had to surrender everything that she knew. Church, she had to betray everybody in all of Jericho. She had to turn their back on everybody. She had a serious decision to make. And God used her. Line of heritage of Jesus Christ, his son. What? Is that true? God could use me? Father, we just ask in this just a sensitive moment, God, Holy Spirit, you would just begin to speak to hearts. God can use your marriage. Your kids. I think it's amazing that, watch this now, God used this woman because she was a prostitute to sneak these guys in. What? Amazing that God can use even our past for his glory. Isn't it amazing that God has brought people in your world that are really messed up to get you where you need to be? God, you're amazing. God, we love you. Build our faith in this place, in this moment. Build our strength to know, God, you can use me. Past is not my future. But you can use me, God. You'd speak over your kids. God can use your kids. You speak life into your kids. God can use you despite your past, despite right now. in your current stupid, God can use you. God has a plan for you. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen.